You are Locked On Knicks, your daily podcast on the New York Knicks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Shot blocked. Porzingis with his fourth projection. Courtney Lee for three. Beasley lines up. Ntilikina.
What he does is contagious. Becomes infectious.
And across the lane. Baker launches. Jack to Porzingis. Fires up the ball.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Knicks, the podcast that's in the 99th percentile of explaining, complaining, and entertaining. I'm your host, James Marcina, a.k.a. Negroni Soprano. You may know me as the founder of NBA Injury Report on Twitter, and this is episode 301. On today's show, we're joined by Alex Wolf of Posting and Toasting, and we're going to hand out report cards for three crucial Knicks to the 2017-18 season. Ron Baker, Billy Hernan Gomez, and Joakim Noah. All right, let's start the show. Hit it, Marv!
Yes!
All right, so Alex, we're here today to hand out grades for Ron Baker, Joakim Noah, Billy Hernan Gomez. I want, you know, the listeners to stick around to the end. So if one of these report cards would, like, entice people, like, who do you think people want to hear about of these three? What should we put at the end?
I don't know. Baker, maybe? I feel like he's maybe the most intriguing out of the three. The other two barely played. I mean, Baker kind of didn't play that much either, but.
Yeah. All right, we're holding off Baker. You guys are going to have to wait to get you some Baker. That's how you do it in this business, you know? So, let's start with Billy Hernan Gomez. Once a Knick, always a Knick, barely a Knick. probably never to be a Knick again. We like to talk about their positives and negatives before we hand out a grade and talk about what we might want to do with them for next season, although that doesn't really apply for Billy because he's gonzo. Do you want to start with the negatives?
Yeah, I feel like there's probably more negatives than positives, right?
There's probably a couple, yeah.
So first, I have a superficial negative. He decided to slick his hair back all year, and he kind of looked like Spanish Dracula.
He did look
and
like
I really
Spanish
wasn't
Dracula.
Into that. Yeah, I wasn't into that look. I didn't like it, and I think it, you know, it might have affected his play.
Dress for the job you want, and he was dressed for Spanish Dracula, for sucking blood and turning into bats, and you know.
Yeah, and he had the little wispy goatee again. You know.
Yes, he looked like. Have you watched Mad Men? Is that one you've watched?
I have not. That's not one of mine.
Okay, for the people, you hang out for 1 second, Alex, while I talk to the listeners. For you guys who know Mad Men, he looks like the drawing of the devil that the art department does for the snow cone ad. I'll see if I can find that for you, Alex. But you should watch it one day. It's a good show. Anyway.
I will. It's on the list, you know. I've got a pretty long list, but.
Because we've talked about it before, and I keep assuming you know. For some reason, I was like, no, that's the one he's seen. He's seen that one. Have you seen Breaking Bad?
Oh, yeah, dude. I'm all about Breaking Bad.
Okay, that's the one you've seen.
Yeah.
The one. I don't know. Oh. But you haven't seen Sopranos.
No, I haven't seen any HBO shows.
And the Wires, the HBO ones, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Right. I'm a big. I mean, I'm not against HBO. I just don't buy it because I don't have the money,
I
don't have anybody to steal it from. So,
Here's what I'm going to do. Listeners, come on, one of you guys has to have a login that's not also your bank password. You get in touch with Alex. What's your Twitter again?
At the Alex Wolf.
Yeah. DM the Alex Wolf and just share your HBO password with him.
You know? That'd be pretty sick, man. That would be a really good random act of kindness.
Right? It's, listen.
You'd be a Knicks version of Shea Serrano, you know?
I'd give you mine, but I use my same password for everything. And I can't trust you like that yet. We're one more podcast appearance from me trusting you like that, but not yet.
Okay, understandable.
I just don't want you to clear out my bank account, you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean when I say that?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to hit up every single bank, and then I'm going to start with jmarcita1@gmail.com, and then I'm going to try your password, and then I'm going to try jmarcita2@gmail.com, and then I'm going to try your password.
I mean, that's basically it. And once you get, like, if you get in there and somehow get my ATM code, I mean, all it would take would be, like, 2 trips to the ATM. You're wiping me out, so.
It's about one more trip than it would take to wipe me out, so.
So I'm rich. So, okay, so Billy Hernan Gomez, he looks like Dracula.
Tragic.
Yeah.
So he played in a grand total of 26 games. He averaged 9 minutes per game. Which was not great, and the reason that he didn't get very much playing time is that on offense, he still sort of showed that sort of brilliance sometimes that you saw in his rookie season with the great footwork and the offensive rebounding, mm-hmm. and pretty good at finishing around the hoop. But then on defense, he was literally like an open door. I mean, he may as well not even been out there.
Worse than ever. He was worse than ever. That was obviously a big... question mark for him coming into the season, but he got destroyed, you know, especially in pick and rolls, you know, much like Enes Kanter. Defensively, when he was on the court, the Knicks, you know, it wasn't a lot. So this is small sample size, but this also matches the eye test. The Knicks were 7.4 points worse per 100, which is basically league worst for a big man.
See, now, and the thing, too, is you can draw comparisons between him and Kanter, but, like, the big difference between the two this year was that when Kanter was out there, even if he sucked on defense, you could always tell that Kanter was trying.
Yes.
And Billy out there had a very apathetic look about him.
He did.
When he was out there for most of the season. And I get the feeling that it was probably because he and Hornacek didn't get along.
I mean,
that could just be me. I don't know. But
something was definitely off with their relationship because, I mean, well, it's tough to say, like, this is a very chicken egg because he had reportedly like a sort of a bad tude, right? Like he allegedly refused to go down to the G League when he was asked to do that. We don't know if this is true. I haven't seen this like confirmed, but definitely reports that. Tell me if I'm wrong. Did you see this like 100% anywhere?
I don't know that I did. Hold on, you keep talking. I'll Google search.
Okay, yeah. So like he reportedly refused to go down to the G League, but. You know, like, the counterpoint to this is when he went to Charlotte, he got some minutes and looked okay. Like, I talked about his on-off before with defensively being basically worst in the league for a big man. Again, very limited minutes, but in Charlotte, he was in the 73rd percentile in terms of his on-off and the effect of the defense. You know, this was a team playing at the end of a string at a season where, you know, not much was going on at the end. They really went to the youth, but... Like, it makes you wonder, did he have a bad attitude because him from the beginning, or was it a combination of him and Hornacek not knowing how to get through to him? There is that weirdness with, I hate to keep mentioning this, but, you know, we'll probably stop soon because we're not going to be reviewing Billy's season anymore. But, you know, last season he asked Billy Hernan Gomez to tell KP to stop being a pussy. So, like, just, like, strangeness all around. It's really tough to separate what was Billy's fault and what was Hornacek failing to, you know, communicate well with him. But the fact of the matter is, with the Knicks, he didn't do anything on the court to prove Hornacek wrong. Like, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, so I couldn't find anything that definitively said that he refused a G League assignment. But either way, it would be believable. I think there was just, it was like that perfect storm of, like, he might be kind of like that, that archetype that I despise, being in the millennial generation of like the kind of like hot shit millennial, you know, that's like, uh-huh. I can't do any wrong, like I'm really good at basketball, and like you can't tell me I'm not good at basketball.
The cliche millennial. Yes,
yeah, exactly. He's like the cliche millennial, and then having a guy like Hornacek who's like very like hard-nosed old school, like you gotta work for your minutes, like, yeah. I think it was probably just perfect storm of shit.
Yeah, and Billy's like, you can't really tell me what to do. I have a slightly worse version of Kristaps's car. I'm a
yeah, superstar. You're not my real dad. Get out of here, Jeff. You're not my dad. You're not even my brother.
And this is my brother. We're family. But yeah, it was funny though, because like he did have a comically good run in Charlotte. Like he didn't get playing time for a little bit, but then they did give him a chance. He had a 131 offensive rating in 226 minutes with Charlotte. So again, not a lot of minutes like at all. But he showed some of that promise. I'm not too beat up about the Knicks not having any more. I think the biggest positive from him this season is we got those second rounders for him.
Yeah, I mean, and that was a decent return. I mean, if you think about it, they effectively got back exactly what they gave up to get him, which, like, if any player, especially one that you're selling low on, you can come out with a net, you know, equal, it's not too shabby. I mean, they got out for exactly what they put in for Billy. So,
for sure.
You know, it's cool.
Although, one last positive. I mean, like I said, he did snitch on Hornacek for telling him to tell KP that he's a pussy. So that helped get the balls rolling on the firing of Hornacek. So.
Yeah, did it really, though? Because they still, even after all that, gave him a full season to tank away.
But it was part of the narrative of him doing weird stuff that made it
right. I just feel like ultimately Hornacek was kind of a dead man walking almost the whole season.
Yeah.
Because with Perry and Mills there, they were like, they were obviously going to go in a different direction at some point, unless the team miraculously won like 50 games or something.
Right, and he blew them away. Like, I do think they would have given him that option if they came in and he was just like, you know, a David Fizdale-esque character, which we see now is what they wanted. Clearly, he's the exact opposite of that, like in a lot of ways. So,
yeah,
probably wasn't long for the world. Let's just wrap this up with a final grade.
I'm going to give Billy an incomplete. Mm-hmm. He didn't turn in all of his homework. I don't think that we can rightfully give him a grade because we saw so little of him. You know what I mean?
Counterpoint. And D+.
Okay. any reasoning?
Because he's a bum. His encore performance.
But not so big of a bum. He's not even like a regular D bum. He's a D plus.
He's a D plus. That's the wiggle room I give him for who knows what's going on with Hornacek. But he clearly, like what I'll say about him is I'm sure that he did not do anything in practice to earn those minutes because people didn't seem to like Hornacek and you didn't hear any rumblings from anyone, not even his best friend KP, that he should be getting more minutes. You know what I mean? So I feel like he just... I can't say this for sure, but from reading the tea leaves and reading between the lines, like I am convinced that he came in with a weird, bad, entitled attitude this season. Like I do think that happened. I don't know it for sure, but that's kind of my read on the situation.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate.
Yeah. So I want to move on to Joakim Noah, but first, just want to remind you guys that you are listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network. The entire world. Okay, Joakim.
Joakim.
What do you say about a guy like Joakim?
I just wanted to let that pause sit for a minute because he deserves a little pause when you talk about his season. I mean, if you can even call it a season. So he played seven games. He averaged about 6 minutes a game, and then he got in a fight with Hornacek and left the team and refused to come back. He, I guess, should get a little bit of credit for doing that because that is one of the things that I think greased the wheels a little bit on the getting Hornacek fired thing.
Yes.
Because you have a guy that, for better or worse, you have for at least a couple more years making a large sum of money. And so it'd be better to at least play him a little bit or at least have him around to like impart some wisdom or something.
I mean, there is a parallel there with Fizdale. Obviously Noah at this point in his career is not nearly the player that Marc Gasol is, but when you have someone making that much money, like I don't care if he's the biggest dick in the world. It's you got to do what you can to try to, you know, I guess I don't know exactly what happened, but
yeah,
it seems like another coach there, this might not have happened.
The difference is, too, with that is that I don't think in his wildest dreams Noah thinks he's, like, an all-star anymore. Right. Whereas, like, Gasol was, like, you know, thought he was an all-star and he should be dictating how this team should be run. I think all Noah wanted was just a chance to play, like, role-player minutes, you know, 10 minutes a game, something like that. And Jeff couldn't even give him that. I ran a fun number. There's no real like stats. I don't even think the stats are worth getting into for Noah because the sample size is so incredibly teeny tiny. But one important stat is that he got about $18 million this year for about 42 minutes. So he made roughly $430,000 per minute of played time this year. If there was a statistic to show return on investment based off contract value, I'm pretty sure he would be the worst one in the whole league. And I don't have a way to prove that, but I'm pretty sure that he would be.
That's amazing. Dollars per minute divided by PER or whatever. Catch all stats that you want.
We'll have to get Drew on that. He's a stats master. Drew Steele, new PNT writer.
Friend of the show, Scooter Toots on Twitter.
Scooter.
You cannot mention Drew without mentioning Scooter Toots.
Because it's a really good, it's a good handle. It makes me feel a little inadequate with mine that's just like my name with the in front of it.
It could make you feel like an adult. I don't know.
No, I don't know, man. Twitter's not a place for adults. Come on, you've been there.
I think that's probably true. Let's not forget, you know, Noah was sent home for half the year for insubordination, but also did not start the year on the team because he was suspended for doping. So I think it's, you know, facetiously, it's a positive because it opened up playing time for the youngsters, you know, in theory. But, you know, again, there, not a wise decision from Joakim. Making himself disruptive and being dismissed, that's not good. But opened up playing time for young players, in theory.
So on the Noah vanity point standpoint, he did not bring back the braids and headband combo from last year, which was a little disappointing. That like weird thing he did with his hair at the beginning of last year where he like put it in like weird pigtails.
Oh yeah, I like completely forgot about that.
Yeah, he didn't bring that back. That was a little disappointing, but he does get bonus like extra credit points from the end of the year for dyeing his beard blonde and going on a vision quest or something for this off season.
Yes.
Cause he's like posting videos of himself on Instagram, like wandering around the woods with a blonde beard and like round John Lennon sunglasses. Like,
it's funny because
I'm peyote or something. I don't know what his thing is.
Like, usually when someone does something like weird like that, I'm all for it. And I just, you know, my opinion is do what you want to do. That's fine. But then when I saw that, I was like, no, that just looks terrible. Like, that looks awful. What are you doing? And then the more I was exposed to it, like, I just changed my mind. I was just like, you know what? That looks great. That looks weird and great. And I love you, Joakim Noah. I don't know. I can't find myself having bad feelings for him as much as I hated him on Chicago. He's just like such a weird goof, you know, from the way he runs with his fingers all splayed out, like his hands are made of shovels, to, you know, his shooting motion that looks like he's trying to light a match on the basketball. And he clearly, you know, I feel genuine remorse and sadness from him that he sucks so hard and is wasting all this money. Like, I don't think he's, like, cool with it. It seems to be destroying him.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely gets by on, like, competition and stuff. And I think that's why, like, he was so pissed that he wasn't playing at all, because I think he felt like he could have been doing more than some of the other guys on the team.
I'll say this. I mean, one of the things that I thought was annoying about Hornacek was his insistence on defense being this thing that drives him. And then, like, we saw it a lot with, like, Frank clearly being a better defender than Jack. Say what you will about Jack running the offense, but if you're judging, you know, Hornacek by his words, and he talks about defense, had a hard time seeing Frank getting minutes. And Noah, I think, still could contribute on that end of the floor. I think they could have used him a little bit more, honestly, if they were actually trying to win.
Yeah, he can at least be like a quarterback on defense. You know, mm-hmm. He might not have the same, like, lateral quickness that he once had, but he definitely, when he's out there, you can hear him.
He's
loud.
Know,
you can hear him. You can hear him barking, like he's going, "Get over there!" You know,
he's got his
up there. Yep. Blah blah blah.
He's got his head on his swivel. He's pointing people in their spots, like you said. I mean,
yeah.
And he, in the little time that he got, I thought he did pretty well. I forget what game it was, and he really keyed them with some late defensive play to a win. I forget which game it was now, but you know, it was very limited amount. But yeah, so for Noah, I mean, he's someone Billy, I thought, was kind of full of shit a little bit, and I was disappointed in him, so that's why I gave him the D plus. For Noah, I'll give him the incomplete, even though I don't approve of all his decisions either. I got a soft spot for the guy. What can I say?
I'm going to give Noah a J in honor of all the J's that he's been smoking since he's been away from the team, in all likelihood. He gets a J. Yeah, that took me a whole, 2 minutes.
You know what, though? Like, clearly that was maybe the worst joke ever written, but you delivered it in such, deadpan Norm MacDonald. Like, it really elevated it. It might be genius. I don't know. I'm going back and
forth. It's kind of like a Stephen Wright aesthetic was what I was going for, you know?
And you committed fully to it.
Yeah.
So, I give that joke a B+.
Yeah, I think I just did my stepdad really proud. He makes really corny jokes like that all the time.
What's your before we move on? We talk about what we want for next season with these guys. What do you want for Noah?
I'd just like to. I mean, it really depends on how everything shakes down with O'Quinn and Cantor with their options. I don't really think that Noah should play over either of those two guys necessarily, but let's say that Cantor opts out and goes somewhere else. I would reasonably not like to spend a lot of money on the center position for next year, and honestly, just try to mend the fences with Noah. You know, get him back out there and kind of just have him at least play. You know, I think expectations are going to be so low for next year anyway that if he's really bad, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But then at least maybe you can spend that money on someone else, you know, at the wing or something. Try to bring in someone that can, you know, do something for the team a little bit, and maybe invest it, buy low, you know, kind of like, and honestly, I kind of want to do it with the same player, but try to find someone like Tyreek Evans, something like that. Try to find one of those diamond in the rough guys with the money that you have, rather than trying to spend it on like the center or forward positions.
Right.
And just kind of go for something like that. Use Noah. Don't treat him like he's just a dead roster space. You know, just bring him in, try to figure something out with him. That would be my goal.
Yeah. I just don't want to see them stretch him no matter what.
No, yeah, definitely not.
You could maybe talk me into it if they know, after the season, if you know they know that they have some guy and they need that space, depending on the guy. But I just don't see how it's a good move. I mean, it's a lot of money, $6 million for 3 years after next season if they stretch him. I forget. I'm not sure what there's competing information about what the actual deadline is when they can do that and have it be 3 years and not five, but. I would just like to see him finish it out in a very diminished bench role and then just be off the books. Like, that would, but
yeah.
You
know. But I mean, it doesn't even have to be that diminished. You know what I mean? He could play 15, 20 minutes a game next year. You know, I think that would be fine. Like I said, expectations are going to be so low, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and there's no way that both Noah, or there's no way that both Cantor and O'Quinn are opting in, right? Like, one of them's opting out, if not.
I think probably both of them will, but I get the feeling the Knicks might try to pursue O'Quinn and actually give him another deal.
Yeah.
But that's just my hunch.
But I think they can totally do that.
Yeah.
And then still have – and then you're right. And then if Cantor's not around, then there's plenty of minutes for Noah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. It's the moment everyone's been waiting for, Ron Baker. But first, just want to remind you guys that you are listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you like what you hear, head on over to iTunes and rate us 5 stars. Once again, that's Locked On Knicks. All right. Let's talk about Ronnie Bakes.
The Baker's man. All right.
I hear you hate him. That's the word on the street.
Yeah, I don't know if I necessarily hate him. I just don't like him as much as everybody else seems to. Mm-hmm. I think that's my biggest thing. Like, everybody else is always, very pro Ron, it seems like, and I'm just trying to be contrarian, or I don't know.
Maybe you instinctually balk at the notion that you have to root for the scrappy white guy who's not that good. Is that
that's true? That might be part of it. Yeah. It also might be that the dude just can't shoot, and so I can't get over that.
One thing I will not argue with you with about, I should say, is that he cannot shoot, at least yet, not yet. He's had, like, you know, injury problems both seasons, another big detriment to him. So, like, there's a possibility that we haven't seen, like, the true Ron Baker in terms of his shooting, because I know he shot better in college, I believe. But college shooting does not always translate over to the pros, so it's a very much could be the case that he just this is what he is. But yeah, he shot 33% from three this past season.
But it was on like one attempt a game. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't
not a lot.
Yeah, but I mean, he only played 12 minutes a game, so I wouldn't expect him to be out there as like a straight gunner anyway. So I guess that kind of matches up.
But then overall, his effective field goal percentage was 430. So.
Also not good.
Not good. Very not good. So his two-point shots weren't falling either. What do you think about his defense?
What do I think about what now? His minutes?
His defense.
Oh, his defense. I'm sorry. We talked over each other for a second.
Yeah,
his defense, I mean, he's scrappy. I mean, he's got the hustle, the grit, you know, all those little buzzwords that everybody uses for the white guys that get around and run as hard as they possibly can and get in people's face. On the downside, his hustle and grit led to him getting totally broken by Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis like dunked on him so hard that it literally broke his face. And then he had to wear this clear mask with a headband, and he kind of looked like if Kane from the WWE and Ashton Kutcher had like a love child. That was kind of Ron Baker for a little while.
Yeah. AD did. I think AD, he dunked on him, like he shunned him hard. But I think he also elbowed the shit out of him. Like he kind of wailed on him with that chicken wing of his a little bit. I think.
Well, because he threw his arm out to make space, which is like kind of legal. Ron just should have let him dunk, man.
Like, I know. What are you thinking there? What are you thinking there? Like,
yeah, he had a clear path to the hoop. This is like one of the most physically dominant players in the whole NBA, and you're trying to jump in front of him, stop him from dunking.
Yeah, I mean, if Chris Dudley can't stop Shaq from dunking, then Ron Baker's not stopping Anthony Davis.
You know? No.
I don't know why I chose that as a thing, but yeah. They're much closer in size.
I would say that it's probably one of the – it was probably one of the biggest, like, dunk sunnings since that. Shaq on Chris Dudley.
Topped only by Giannis Antetokounmpo leaping over Tim Hardaway Jr.
God. Yeah, we had some real gems this year as far as getting dunked on, didn't we?
So, I mean, like, God, you know, like, I was about to say I'm so glad KP got hurt that game. Which I'm not, but I feel like we'll never hear about that dunk again the same way we would have. Because he really got, like, Vince Carter in the Olympics over Frederick Weist, like, in an NBA game, you know?
But, like, even worse, because did Vince Carter fully clear Frederick Weist, or did...
He did. Yeah, he did, for sure.
Okay. But, all right, I couldn't remember if he... I thought that he just kind of bow-foot him and, like, dropped his nuts on his face, but I don't know.
I mean, he did. He did that, too. But the thing about the Weist thing was he kind of, like, two-legged, like, kind of, like, really leaped up... Like, the Antetokounmpo thing was, like, in transition, like, somehow.
Yeah.
Like, one-footed. Like, it was unbelievable. But, anyway. Ron Baker. So, I think he plays, you know, like, pretty good defense. Perhaps too aggressive sometimes. But he gets up in the offensive player's space, which, speaking of Hardaway, is, like, the only other... And, I guess, Ntilikina. The only other... Dotson. All the guys who didn't play, other than Hardaway. Like, those four guys are the guys on the Knicks who actually, like, got in the, you know, opponent's grill when they were defending them. Like, really kind of got up on them. And Ron Baker's someone who also picked up guys, you know, full court, three-quarter, half-court. Not every Knick did that. I just want to make a quick case. There is something about Ron Baker, the combination of his defense and keeping the ball moving. I think he might have, like, a pretty good basketball IQ, and I don't say that, you know, because he's the scrappy white guy. But when you look at his counting stats, they're horrible. Like, we talked about his, you know, his shooting stats, doesn't get a lot of assists, anything like that. But when he's out there, and especially in certain lineups, that's, like, good things tend to happen for the Knicks. Like, I looked up, I always thought he played well with Frank. I thought that was a look they should have gone more to if they were serious about snapping the Knicks out of. Especially, like, the Knicks were very prone to these just long doldrums in a game where no one was playing defense and they looked, like, real half-assed. And I looked up his lineup numbers when he was paired with Frank. So there were 459 possessions. This is according to Cleaning the Glass. They do possessions. The Knicks, their net rating in those possessions was plus 3.7, which is 75th percentile for two-man pairings in the league. Now, they had 107 offensive rating, which is 41st percentile, not very good. It was not a good shooting lineup. We talked about he couldn't really shoot. They were bottom quarter of the league in effective field goal percentage. But there was something there, and I'm not saying Ron Baker was like 100% responsible for this, but when him and Frank were on the court, it manufactured some good shots. They were 97th percentile, that lineup pairing, in free throw rate. They were getting hacked a lot. 38.3% of their shots came at the rim, which is 85th percentile. And then on defense, they were 103.2 defensive rating, which is 90th percentile. And the opponent had a 48% effective field goal percentage, which is 96th percentile. So, like, there was something about the combination of his defense, him and Frank specifically being two really good perimeter defenders, and, you know, making the right play on offense. Like, he knows he sucks. Like, he doesn't have a high usage rate. He has a pretty high assist percentage to usage rate. That's one of those Cleaning the Glass stats that kind of says how often you get an assist given how much you had the ball. He was actually 83rd percentile for combo guards in assist percentage to usage rate. And, you know, I could give you some more stats, but I've got some more here, but I think they'll kind of be redundant and kind of making the same point. Like, Ron Baker, never going to be a starter, never going to be a star. But, like, I think there's something there where he's a guy who should get, you know, like, 10 to 15 minutes a game and should be one of these guys who, you know, maybe you play situationally, maybe he gets a couple DNP CDs throughout the year, but when, like, the team is dogging it, the coach is like, Ron, get out there and, like, show them how we play basketball. Like, I think he's got a role as like, a kind of, like, deep bench bro who maybe not gets significant minutes, but, like, can give you valuable minutes in the right situation.
I actually would agree with that. You know, I think there's something infectious about the way that he plays.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's the type of guy that, like what you just said, like, you put him out there when you want to kind of have him lead by example, which is just go out there and, like, bust his ass. Right. And because that's, like, the only way that he can be successful is if he busts his ass, like, 24/7.
And, you know, that can only get you so far. I mean, we see that when someone like Lance Thomas is given huge minutes. Like, you're going to suffer.
Yeah, he can't be like a starter or even a spot starter.
Yes,
like,
no.
The fact that it got to the point last year in the Rose season where he started one or two games, didn't he? His rookie season?
Yes, he did.
I just remember those, and we were looking at him like, oh, maybe Ron will be like our new Jeremy Lin. And it's like, nah, he's... not that guy. He is not that guy. Like,
I mean,
he's never gonna be your savior. He's never gonna come in there and make those starts or like become a starter magically. But he could be a good dude to like keep around, essentially on a veteran minimum contract for the rest of his career.
Yeah.
That is honestly, I think, my biggest source of constant frustration with him is that they gave him like almost the same amount of money as a guy like Kyle O'Quinn.
Well,
and I really don't think he did anything to deserve that.
Well, here's the interesting thing, right? So I was looking at that because people do dislike his contract. And they gave him the room exception. So it was like a little over $4 million. And so I was trying to make a case to myself that this wasn't so bad. And I don't think it's so bad because it's not a ton of money. But I started looking it up and I was like, where does he rank in the NBA? And he's actually the 216th best paid player in the NBA. So I saw that and I was like, okay, well, that seems, maybe that's right. I don't know. I mean, is that a little high? But then I looked at, he's in a three-way tie for 216 with Jamal Crawford and Aaron Baines.
I think you could argue that he does less for the team than those two guys.
I absolutely think you could argue that. I think Jamal Crawford's a little overrated because like he's flashy and fun and is like a basketball historian and he's smart and everyone loves him. I'm not like I haven't looked at his numbers this year. I don't know. I know he can score in bunches, but I don't know how efficient he is or if the team plays better with him on the court or that kind of thing. But I mean, this definitely, I would say, bolsters people's argument who says he's paid too much.
Yeah.
Crawford could win you some games single-handedly. I'll say that, right? Like, if he gets hot. We were talking about, like, he can be a spot starter kind of thing. Baker, like, his handle's terrible. People worry about Frank's handle, but Baker's got, like, a real high loose dribble. He turns the ball over kind of a lot. Not, like, the worst in the league, but he's kind of bottom quarter. He's, like, 25th percentile with his turnover rate. So
yeah, and comparing, not that you were, but ever comparing someone like Frank to someone like Baker is a fool's errand anyway.
Yes,
because Baker's like 25 years old already.
Yeah,
because he was a 4-year guy at Wichita, and Frank is 19 years old. And honestly, probably the reason that Frank's handle isn't tighter is because he's probably still growing.
Yeah,
and I can only imagine that, like, when your arms and your legs and every part of you is still growing, that it's a little hard to maintain that consistent, like, dribble speed, you know, that you need to get.
Absolutely. Such muscle memory. And if you're, like, the length of your arms and legs are changing, it's a little bit of a different motion, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, I don't expect, like, much improvement from Ron, other than maybe, like, his shot coming around at some point. Like, but not, I don't ever expect him to be like a good driver, like a good finisher. I think his like peak would be almost like a poor man's Tony Allen on the Grizzlies. Yeah. You know, like if he could somehow figure out a way to like hit open three pointers at a consistent clip and then just come in there and like lock down someone on D. Yeah. He could potentially be like a role player on not just like a Knicks team, but actually like a good Knicks team.
Yeah, you know, like, what just I mean? Someone like, who comes in and annoys the shit out of someone who's hot, right? Maybe maybe someone's given everyone fits, and like, not that Ron Baker's gonna like lock down, you know, I don't know, James Harden or something, but have him come in and annoy someone and like disrupt their rhythm. You said poor man's Tony Allen, and I was thinking because I on this program a lot, I want to call people like homeless man someone, but I was like, you know what? I don't want to be mean to poor people and homeless people. I'm trying to think of a different way to say that. Like an alt-rights Tony Allen?
Oh, God, no. That's just terrible.
Because poor man... Okay, so it's got to be something that's, like, not good, but not... We're not trying to make fun of. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know this might be dipping my toes into, like, annoyingly trying to be too woke, but I feel like something good will come of it. Something good.
You know what? There's, like, you know, you gotta look for ways to not disparage people as much as you can, especially in the current...
That's what I'm saying.
...climate of the world.
Yeah.
There's a lot of disparaging shit going around. I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, a good, like, synonym for that.
Like a not-as-good version of something. That still has value. Like a costume jewelry is like...
What about a bankrupt Tony Allen, right? Because a lot of bankrupt stuff is like from like greedy people that like go too far, like big corporations, that sort of thing. Perhaps. Bankrupt Tony Allen, maybe. But then like also like normal people go bankrupt
too.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Normal people go bankrupt too. So
yeah.
I don't want to, you know, we don't have to spend too much time on that, but this is an open challenge to our listeners.
We'll think about this. This will be homework. This will be homework. I like it.
For the audience, for myself, and any future guests, if I want us to come up with a better phrase than poor or homeless person's ex, that is my challenge to you, the audience. So, Ron Baker, I mean, I think we've covered his pluses and minuses from this past year. What would you want to give him for a final grade perspective?
I want to be kind to Ron. I would say like a C. I was expecting to see a little more out of his shot this year.
Yeah.
And it was still pretty atrocious, but like everything else that we kind of like, he is who we thought he was. You know what I mean?
Yes.
To quote the great Cardinals coach rant, whose name is escaping me at the moment.
It's Danny Green.
But it's not Danny Green. Dennis Green.
Dennis Green. And also rest in peace.
No, he didn't die, did he?
I think he did. Yeah, in 2016.
Oh my God, no way.
I know, it was sad. He was only, I don't know how old he was, but he was not that old.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Wicked. All right. Well, rest in peace, Danny Green. My God.
Yeah.
He gave maybe one of the best coach rants ever, though, right up there with David Fizdale.
Oh, absolutely.
He lives on forever.
Yeah. Look that up. He was the Cardinals. Was it with the Cardinals when he did it? He was also the Vikings coach for a long time.
I'm pretty sure it was a regular season game. It was against the Bears. And he goes, they were like, well, what led to you guys losing the game? Because it was like a Monday night game and they blew a big lead. And he goes, we are who we thought, or they are.
Yo,
who
they are.
They are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook. And he like screamed that and then just like left. It was awesome.
It was so good. But yeah, you got to grade Ron on like a curve because you're not expecting him to be a KPEN megastar. That being said, I do think we could have seen more of him from his shot. I'm like, I had C plus. I'm almost talking myself into a B minus because, like, no, he didn't really improve much on the offensive end from what we saw. I didn't see a lot of improvement year over year. That's what I'll say. He's never going to be a great player, but I would have liked to have seen a little bit more improvement. Maybe it's not fair. I'm gonna straddle the line and give him a C plus B minus, like in between.
Okay, that's fair.
You know, he's not that great, but he in a season where there were a lot of like horrible Knicks defensive efforts, he was not one of them, and for that I'm grateful. And there was something about him that he was a good kind of glue guy who didn't try to really do more than he could, and I think helped the team run fairly well in his time when he was out there. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, we were gonna talk. Huh?
I just thought of a better homeless man's thing.
Okay, let's hear it.
What if you say someone's a grifter's something? Because a grifter is like a fake homeless person.
Yes. So that
they're a dick for sure.
Yes.
That's so good. Like if we're like Ron Baker could be a grifter's Tony Allen.
Yeah, because grifters there's a moral judgment baked into their behavior there. Like they're scamming people.
Like, yeah, exactly.
On some level, right? So, okay. I don't know if that's the final one, but that is definitely good for today. That's the bar you guys have to clear if you're gonna beat this. But
I encourage everybody to beat me. That just, you know, we timed it. That literally took like 2 minutes. So
yeah,
that someone was, could come up with something better. That was only a 2 minute solution, but yes, it'll work for now.
It will for now. And that's all the time we have for today's show. Alex, thank you so much for joining me. Why don't you let the people know one more time where they can find you, and if you want to throw in any plugs for anything, you can do that too.
Just find me on Twitter at @TheAlexWolf. I'm looking forward to my 5 follower bump that always comes after every Locked On Knicks appearance.
Oh, do you get that?
And yeah, I find it usually happens. Nice. You know, you send out the message, and then I get like a couple new followers, and then a couple people are like, "Oh, your guest sucks," and then I'm like, "Hi, I watch all these tweets because I'm a loser, and so I can see you." And then they're like, "Oh, you weren't that bad." And yeah, great.
I mean, when I first started Locked On Knicks, and I was trying to kind of calibrate and find my footing and figure out what worked for me. Hopefully, I've gotten a lot better over the season, but there were some rocky moments in the beginning, and people were just like, and there was also the switch from Jared to me, very different styles, and people would at me like I wouldn't see it. Would be like, "Man, this at Locked On Knicks guy really sucks ass. Like, I hope he dies and I never have to hear from him again." Like, people were adding David Locke trying to get me fired. I don't want to blow it up like, you know, like 5 people did this kind of thing. But it was hurtful. And they do.
Those 5 people suck. They don't know what they're talking about.
Thank you, Alex.
Yeah, you're welcome. I got you back.
Oh yeah. Chicka chicka. Bow bow doo 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 doo. Chicka chicka. Oh yeah. I don't know like the order of those elements to that song from Ferris Bueller, but I know they're all in there. So I just like to kind of shuffle them together, see what comes out. Anyway, all this to say, another great sode, in my opinion, with the wonderful guest, Alex Wolf. Love having Alex on the show. Love talking about Billy Hernan Gomez looking like Spanish Dracula. I hope you guys had a good time. That's it for today's episode of Locked On Knicks. If you have a moment, rate us on iTunes. 5 stars, please. Subscribe to the show if you have not already. Tell your friends about the sensation that is Locked On Knicks if you haven't already. Tell your barista about Locked On Knicks if you haven't already. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Knicks or at NBA Injury Report. Be chill to each other. It's a dirty world out there. Be nice. Spay and neuter your pets. If it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. Always salt the pasta water. And take that for data. Tune in tomorrow for another episode of Locked On Knicks. Peace!